Thank you, choir, and thank you, Donna, for filling in for Ken so well and so ably. I keep thinking when I hear something like that and the choir is singing like that, that I would love to sing then. And then the people who are in the choir look at me and say, no, 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 no. So, again, thank you for sharing that with us. Now, before I start this morning, a little disclaimer that needs to be put up here. Over the last 18 months or so, I've had a number of very good conversations with a lot of you folks. Some of them short, some of them long, and they've a lot of times have kind of spurred off thoughts. You haven't asked EXA questions, but some of you actually have. So if you have asked questions and I answer them today, you'll know who you are. But when we've done this, there's just been so much here. So what I want to give you this morning is, while it's not totally expository, it's scriptural, yet also application. It's what I believe the scripture is saying in this situation, and it's what I believe. When I say that, I don't say this is what I do, because I wish I could do it more. It's one of the places where I have a high standard and I fall short. But I think you'll get the idea as we go through. So we'll start. We're looking at 1 Corinthians, but Easter is just barely past. You know, if there is one time of the year that should bring us all together as people, as church, as a community, Easter is it. But unfortunately, you and I know people. So consider this, if you will. Have you heard the story about the strong, independent man or woman who can be and do everything needed by himself or by herself? The person who doesn't need anyone else for anything?
Jesse, don't go! Jesse, no!
I'm sorry, Daisy, but I'm a loner, and a loner's got to be alone.
Have you never seen that before? Now, here's the question, though. How many of you are loners? Watch out for these big signs in the sky, then. But many times, when you hear a person who is that strong, independent, I can do it myself kind of guy, you might want to feel the need to kind of stop and listen to him. And what you're supposed to think is something like, boy, what a life. And he did it all himself. But when I hear such a thing, I find myself stopping and thinking, oh, really? I'm sure that this person's parents would be very interested to know that he didn't really need them, even to get where he is. Isn't it great to know that there was at least one baby who could feed itself and change its own diapers? Not that independent, huh? Okay. But being born, and to childhood years aside, just how independent are some of these independent people? Well, sometimes we hear that a person educated himself, you know, and taught himself all that he needed to know in a particular area, even taught himself to read, and that's really great when you hear that. But, not to nitpick, of course, but who wrote the books that he used to learn to read? And who produced any of the materials that he used to learn whatever it was that he learned? No one, of course, because he doesn't need anybody. When we get down to basic, let's say that this person prints some kind of a motivational book. Isn't it great to know that that independent person went out in the forest and cut down all the trees and made all the paper by himself? From the look on your face, he didn't do it that way. Well, he labored to make the printing press and to produce the ink and bound all those books by himself, didn't he? Someone else again. Now, consider, I'm not trying to belittle the idea of individual effort or the drive of one person to do something and succeed. What I am saying, though, is that the independent man who never, ever needs anyone else, who has never worked with another person or wanted to or needed to, is a mythological character right up there alongside Superman, Hercules, Zeus, and the abominable snowman. There is no such thing. Seriously now, we all drink from wells that we didn't dig. We're blessed and formed by institutions that we did not build. We're brought up in families that we didn't establish. Our lives are lived in a maze of influences of other people, of things past and things present and things future. Especially, we are directed, whether some will admit it or not, by God. So there are three things I want you to consider this morning and keep the loner commercial, which it was just a Geico commercial, but keep it in mind. First, what am I? Ask yourself that. What am I? Am I a loner? Am I part of a family? Do I, will I live only with myself? Or will I have others to turn to? And most especially, ask yourself in this context, where is God in my life? Number two, what is the church, specifically my church? Do I feel connected to others, with people who really know me? Or am I here, but always alone in a crowd? Does my church help me to feel that God is a vital, central part of my life? Or do I struggle along alone by myself? And finally, how can I work to serve this church and serve in this church? Not to advance myself, but to make it more and more of a family in Christ, following Christ, and serving Christ. And here, with this thought, we connect with the writing of Paul in 1 Corinthians. Now, in part, Paul was writing to the Corinthians because at least some of their actions show that they cared more for the individual acclaim and importance than for working together for God's goal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. Each will receive his wages according to his labor. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now, Paul made several interesting points here. First, he showed that we can and do sometimes work together. We work with each other. Verses 6 and 8 of that section, I planted, Apollos watered. He who plants and he who waters are one. We as human beings should work in partnership with the other, all different, yet one family in Christ. Sometimes we may not even know that there is no one who does not affect other people, and also no one who has not been affected by other people. Yet far too often we forget that God is the one who has given us the abilities to work and work together in the first place. In Christ, we may not do the same things at the same time or the same way as someone else, but we all have value. We all are important as parts of God's family. We can and do work together. Second, there are consequences if we work, but don't work together, and especially don't look to God for direction. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians there says, "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." To change the emphasis just slightly, imagine that you planted a seed, a plant of some kind. It's getting towards spring. That's something that we do. It may be easy, it may be difficult, but it gets accomplished. It's in the ground. But suppose then it is never watered, and I mean never. Do you think it will grow and produce any kind of a harvest? Especially if no one ever looks to God for directions at cultivating that plant? Or what if the seed is planted and it's watered and it's cultivated, but no one ever comes to reap the harvest? I mean, why should they? Because that's not what rugged individualists do, is it? Or maybe it's because someone didn't let the harvesters know, working together or not. If we don't work together, looking to God to direct what's needed, has anything been accomplished? I strongly challenge you right now to honestly ask yourself, am I that totally independent person, that loner? Is that how I act? Is that how I come across? Do I act like that individualist who doesn't need anybody? Do I listen first to God? Will we, all of us, who are supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ, help ourselves, help others, help our brothers and sisters in the church? Will we serve God in this world if we're totally independent, if we don't need anyone else, and with that I can do it myself attitude? If we're a let me do my thing my way kind of people. God has placed a seed, a talent, an ability in every one of us. He has given us each a gift, a way to serve. Make no mistake, these are His gifts. And without Him, each of us would really be nothing. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 gives us something to think about. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them in all, in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Third, Paul also says in verses 6 and in verse 9 of that passage in 1 Corinthians 3, Apollos watered, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And then he said, for we are God's fellow servants. See, just like there are consequences if we don't work together and if we don't look to God, positive things can happen if we stop concentrating first on ourselves and concentrate on working together, and especially on working for God and for His goal and for His plan. We as Christians work for God. But Paul makes it clear that we're dependent on God in all of this. And that ultimately, God is the one whose strength is needed. God could have made the universe and organized things so that He did everything. He gave us no role to play. But He didn't do it that way. Consider, the all-powerful Creator God gave us a role in that world. And for that matter, in this church. Let's be clear. He uses our faith, our worship, our skills, our active labor, our support, things that all were His gifts to us in the first place. But we are to use them for His glory, for His people, in His world. Something happens. God doesn't make a great church out of a body of believers without the commitment and willing work of that church. But the growth is up to Him. It's God's world, God's plan, and yet He gave us a part to play. Let's take all of this and let's think of an example now. You have probably all flown a kite at some time in your lives, or at least seen one flying. Is there anybody here who has never flown a kite or never even seen a kite? Okay, I didn't think so. Good. Just a plain old diamond kite. You remember, maybe some of you don't, but you remember the kind that you used to make out of sticks and newspaper? At least I did, anyway. You tied rags on another rag or a piece of string to make a tail of it. What do you need to fly a kite, beside wind and sky and no power lines, obviously? Well, there's the kite itself, there's the tail, and there's the string. Now let me ask you, would that kite fly without any one piece? Try flying a tail without a kite. Usually doesn't work too well, I don't think. But a kite with a tail but no string might get in the air. It might even fly for a while if the wind is right and just you launch it just the right way. But with no control, it probably won't last very long. A kite with no tail may fly, but it would probably do one of these things like this all the time. Anybody ever tried to fly a kite when it's doing this? Again, it wouldn't work very well. Well, stop and think about it. We Christians are like those components. Without one another, we just don't always work right. But the picture is not really complete, because there's one more thing needed for the kite, or for us for that matter. There has to be someone holding the string that guides the kite in its flight. There has to be someone who put the pieces together in the first place, who forms it all into a whole that can fly. Need I tell you who that represents? God is in control. He gives guidance to our lives, provides the direction that we need. Without Him, things just don't always work that well. So now, with all of that stuff in mind, what can we, as workers for God together, under God's authority and power, what can we do? What can we do to apply or to use those three things that I picked out of 1 Corinthians? One, that we can work together. Two, that there will be consequences, maybe negative, if we don't work together and don't work together under God. And three, that there can be positive results if we do work together, and especially do work for God. What can we do? Well, first is the mission of the church. The mission starts at our doorstep. When Jesus gave His followers the Great Commission, He told them to be His witnesses, to disciple people, to baptize them, to teach them. And the first place He mentioned was their home base, Jerusalem. Folks, this is our Jerusalem. I believe in the providence and plan of God that has placed this congregation here at this point in space and time to carry out His mission in our world. This is not an accident. He has his reasons for this church being here, here and now. As his disciples, we receive his great commission, which starts at our doorstep and extends to the very ends of the earth. Paul felt this. He felt this sense of purpose, this sense of mission, the feeling that everything had happened in his life, the jailings, the beatings, the rejections, it all had a reason. In Philippians 1:12, he said, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me really has served to advance the gospel." And in the Old Testament, even before the gospel was preached, Joseph, sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers, looked at those same brothers and said in Genesis 45, 7 and 8, "And God has sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive for many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." We follow God in mission, starting here in our Jerusalem. And second, we work together for God in ministry. There are so many areas of ministry, and I'm not going to try and list them all. We'd be here all day. I'm going to give you five general areas. You'll be able to fit yourself into one of these, I think. There are things that the church carries out, but we do best when we work at them together. First, the ministry of sharing the good news of Jesus, his hope, his strength, through our words, through our love, through our lives. That's evangelism in all the many forms and many ways you could make it. Number one. Now, number two is the ministry of teaching the Bible. Not just memorizing words and names and dates, but learning how the information that God has placed in that Bible affects people in biblical times and how it affects people in today, living today. Our ministry should be to present the Bible as a living, breathing, continuing document, not just a dusty book. Three, there's the ministry of worship, and I'm sad that Ken wasn't here to hear this, but the ministry of worship, sharing the love of God with others through our gathered worship, just like we're doing this morning, and through living our individual lives in the world among everybody as worship. Four, the ministry of reaching out to hurting people, to searching people, to lost people in the world, serving them, offering help, offering hope through Christ. This is pre-evangelism. This is meeting the needs of people out there who will find that God can do something in their lives and have a hunger to find more. And finally, there's the ministry of meeting the needs of our brothers and sisters in this body, of encouraging and loving one another, of sharing our hopes and fears, of being family together with and for each other. All of this is here for this congregation, and we do it together. And in this, there's a message, which is this. Every activity, every message, every program, every sharing of the church should originate from the declaration and demonstration of the good news. All the ministries of the church focus on one ultimate objective, the sharing and living out and passing on of the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Finally, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we read, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." When I see that "we" in verse 9, mankind is spread out before me, all the weak and failing and sometimes unwilling people that we are. But I also see that the work is God's, and this is our hope. If we are truly laborers to gather in Christ, then God's task must be our task. The different areas of service in all of this are many. There's something for every single one of us to do. But in all these areas, go forward we must, work together we must, to do all that we can do. When the famous evangelist and preacher of the early part of this century, Dwight Moody, passed away, there was found this phrase written on the flyleaf of his Bible: "If God be your partner, then a blank, make your plans big." Are your plans big? There's one more thing for laborers together with God. 2 Peter 1:5-11. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they can keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." When we are one in Christ, when we all serve, not only his work in this world, but the hope and glory of life beyond it, togetherness like that is something that everyone should want to be in on. And how do we get in on it in the first place? The little acronym that you've heard of called ABC. To admit that we fall short. To admit that we are not up to what God is calling us to be. To admit that we are sinners and have screwed up our lives. Believe. To believe that there is hope, but there is only hope in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the Son of God. He is who he says he is. To confess, to accept, to believe that he is the one hope, and give yourself to him. This should not be kept a secret. It should be shared and lived and proclaimed in and through the life of everyone who knows. It's a labor of love. God's love with God and everyone else. Let's love God. Let's love one another in this church. Let's expect to meet God. And let's do it together. Let's pray. Lord, here we stand before you. Help us indeed to do what we can, to do what you call us to do, to work one with the other, as different as we all are, because in this one thing we are all alike. We are all sinners, but we are all, having given ourselves to you, your children, and we can be used. Help us to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, David. As we seek to respond this morning to what we've heard preached, I invite you to just kind of take a look at the cover of your info guide and focus especially on that circle. And really, that's what David talked about today. The components there as we have the name of our church and what we're all about within that circle. But then how we do that on a daily basis is by connecting with God and with one another, by growing together in His Word individually and corporately, by serving according to our gifts and our talents and our abilities, and going wherever God would have us to go, going to our neighbor, going to our community, going around the world, wherever that may be. But notice, this isn't linear. This isn't start here, end here. This is a continuous process of connecting, growing, serving, going, connecting, growing, serving, going in each one of our lives. So the question this morning is, how is God prompting you in any one of these areas today? You heard just moments ago that it all starts with connecting with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where this all begins. Without that, all the rest that you heard as far as being a part of the family of God, that happens after you become a child of God. As you admit that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and you invite Him to be your personal Savior. That's where this all starts, this journey called the Christian life. And once that starts, then it's all of this continually in your life. Where are you today within the church family? Is there somebody here that God has placed on your mind and God's saying, I need you to connect more with them. I need you to build a relationship with that person because I put you in their path to encourage them, maybe to teach them something, maybe to help them in some way, and I'm leading you to that person for a reason. Maybe God's guiding you to grow in a certain way, or maybe that means help others grow in teaching a certain class or a certain biblical truth or a certain way of applying biblical truth. Or maybe God's calling you to serve in a particular ministry need here within the church, to use your gifts that He is uniquely giving you. Maybe God's saying, go to a neighbor, go to our community, go on a mission trip somewhere outside of here. Maybe God's calling you to that. The response today is to heed God's prompting. Maybe God's saying, start by joining this local family. Start by stepping out at the invitation time here and saying, I want to take steps toward being a member here at Calvary Baptist Church. I want to dive all in and have my gifts used here for God's glory. Whatever the need, you want to come learn more about how you can become a child of God, how you can join this church family. Maybe baptism is the next step for you, or just say, God, I just commit myself fully to you. Whatever the need, I'm going to pray, and I'll be down front. We'll be here to pray with you, to receive you if that's the need. In Jesus' name. Lord God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be called part, not only of your family universally, part of the family of God, but part of the local family of God, here called Calvary Baptist Church. And we know that, as we've heard, you've placed this church in this community for a purpose, and you've given us the task of being continually aware and continually uncovering what is it specifically that you'd have us to do. Lord, I just pray that as you bind us together, and as that vision becomes more and more clear to us as a church, Lord, I pray that we chase after that with all that we've got. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, and you respond as God leads you this morning.